What's up, everybody? And of course, this is 4D, where we talk about, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, you know, because who doesn't love the Dallas Cowboys? We talk a little bit about, you know, the draft, because, you know, we love the draft. And of course, we talk about Doomsday Defense, which, of course, this year we had, but the season is over. So before we really jump into the show, since we have no game to review, we have no upcoming game to kind of be like, hey, this is what we think. Let's first address the elephant in the room. And of course, that is the whole Mike McCarthy, Sean Payton thing. And as always, I am joined by Joseph Massey. How are you doing, good sir?
I'm doing good, man. Just really busy. Started, as most of you know, if you don't, I am in law school. And just started back up. And it is busy. It is going crazy. And so super busy with the kids, the wife, work, and law school, and this, and keep it up with the Cowboys news. Doing good, having fun, just trying to rock it all out.
Everybody healthy?
Yeah, everybody's good, man. Everybody's awesome. Staying safe.
That's important. Yeah, we had a family get together, and like 40% of the people ended up with COVID.
Oh,
we all went and gotten tested, and for whatever reason, only the four people who got it, essentially, they popped, but nobody else did. So I have no idea what's going on. They could have had it before. Who knows? But everybody's healthy now. Everybody's pretty good. It's a sad time of year for us, of course, because, you know, we're not watching the Cowboys in the playoffs anymore.
Yeah, getting tired of it, but yeah,
it is what it is, right? So that first question, of course, right? Like, we're tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
The rumor is that now that Sean Payton is out of work, he may take the Cowboys head coaching position, which of course would push Mike McCarthy out the door. And a lot of people want this, right? Like, yeah. there's a lot of people who want this. You know, and look, you can only believe so much in a press conference, but you look at Payton, you look at what he's done, how long he's been there. If he wants to take a year off, that is absolute. I would not be shocked for him to be like, you know what, I'll take a year and then I'm spend time with my family, recharge a little bit, and then I'll come back out swinging in 2023. I know a lot of people want it to happen, think Jerry can make it happen, but I think he would respect Payton, whatever Payton's choice is, knowing that Payton would be here at some point. So I think, you know, if it was true and Payton's like, no, really, like, I don't, I'm not doing 2022. I think Jerry would be fine with it. Like, I think he would try to push it, but he would also be okay with it. So kind of where are you at with it?
Yeah. So I am a huge fan of Sean Payton. I hated to see him go back in 2006. Hated watching him coach the Saints. Like, I'm just a huge fan of him. Think he's an outstanding coach, as I think most people do, from what he's been able to accomplish with the Saints for all these years. I don't take anything he says in the press conference with really like, hey, this is locked in, this is the word, because he's not going to sit there in his retirement press conference from the Saints and say, yeah, there's a possibility I'm going to coach again this year. Like, you just don't say that. Now, I'm not saying that means he's going to coach for the Cowboys this year, but I tend to believe some people who put it out there that if Jerry Jones really wanted this and Jerry Jones sat down in a room with Sean Payton and said, hey, look, I need you to come on board, then Sean Payton would probably agree. He might not want to necessarily, but he'd probably agree just because him and Jerry have a good relationship, and Jerry is known as a closer. But there's also a part of me that's like, you know what? He's earned a break. He's earned a year off. So, you know, he might want to take a year off. You know, he says he's looking at television. I don't know how good he would be at a color commentator, but like, maybe we'll find out this year. I hope he doesn't do it and falls in love with it. Like, that's my worst fear, that he just falls in love with it. And he's like, I don't want to coach anymore, you know, but he says he wants to coach again. So I think there's a real possibility either this year or next year that he's your head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. And that puts us in a weird predicament for 2022, Dan, and what's going to happen with McCarthy, because I think McCarthy pretty much knows that Jerry Jones wants Sean Payton as his head coach, and everything's saying, hey, 2023. So where does that leave us for 2022 with McCarthy coming back, Quinn now coming back, looking like Moore might be coming back as OC, unless he somehow gets the Miami job? Like, where does that put us? I know a lot of people are saying, hey, Super Bowl or bust, but what kind of pressure does that put on a team for 1 year, and what is it going to look like for us in 2022?
And look, that's a rough schedule. Like, we've already seen the schedule. Granted, you know, some of the teams may look different with quarterbacks retiring, but like, that's still a rough schedule. Mm-hmm. You know, and it really could go one of several ways. So the first way is, of course, they tell Mike McCarthy, you know, NFC championship or bust, essentially, for you. Mm-hmm. Cause I think that would be the line for Jerry, right? Cause now you went to the playoffs, you made it to an NFC championship game. All right, I'll give you the shot for the Super Bowl, right? Then the following year. So I think the NFC championship game would be, you know, it or bust. But yeah, the other way it could go is, you know, McCarthy could be like, you know what, F this noise, I'm out of here. And you go 1-4 and he's fired. And yeah, that's another way he could go. Or they run it back, he puts in the effort, and they finish the same way they did this year. Maybe an extra win, maybe not, but, you know, not reaching that goal. You know, I mean, I guess it could go any way, but I don't know what the answer is, right? Because partially, I don't know Mike McCarthy that well, right? Like, I don't know him to the intimate level of, like, would that put him on his, you know, okay, I'm going to prove it. Would it put him in, like, man, I don't want to do this? I don't know, right? Like, we can all make assumptions based on his past, but in reality, we just don't know what that's going to rise out of him. So I don't know. I don't know where that puts in 2022, right? Like, he has to know what's going on in the media. He has to know what's going on inside the building. He had to have heard rumors prior to coming that Sean Payton, I mean, it was no big secret several years ago, right? Sean Payton would have been the Dallas Cowboy head coach in the last year of Garrett. Garrett would have been not here. It would have been Sean Payton had Anthony Davis not gone to the Lakers. And if you don't know the story,
demanded a trade. Like, I used to be a big basketball fan. I used to be a big Lakers fan. I really don't follow basketball or the Lakers anymore. I just don't care for the sport. But, like, this story just makes me hate it. Hate him, hate the Lakers, hate basketball even more. Like, oh, my goodness.
So for those who don't know the story, essentially, the owners of the Saints and GM are also the VP and owner of the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. Anthony Davis forced a trade out. And when that happened and Sean Payton was going to go to Dallas, there was already a deal worked out and everything. The owners went back to Sean Payton and said, hey, listen, Anthony Davis is out. We cannot be the people that have in like a month's time frame, have Anthony Davis force his way out and then us lose Sean Payton to the Cowboys. They worked it out. Sean Payton came back and it was for, you know, the image of the New Orleans owners. Mm-hmm. So that's the story behind it. It's out there. You can Google it. There's a whole story about it, but, you know, I think pushing forward, it's going to be interesting to see what they do in terms of the coaching staff. Cause Jerry also made no bones about it that, you know, he has 29 coaches on this roster. And when he last won a Super Bowl, there was like 13. And he said he was going to look at all the coaches. So, you know, will there be changes? I don't know, but it should come as no surprise if there is.
Yeah. There's a couple that I want out. I mean, McCarthy leads that list. And I said it in a Twitter space the other night. What soured me on McCarthy so much was the Kellen Moore thing. And I've been on here, I've been on Twitter, I've repeatedly said it, that the reason I believed, and I was wrong, but the reason I believed that Kellen Moore was holding back plays was because I couldn't see that Kellen Moore all of a sudden, like, just didn't know how to beat a cover two. And then not only that, add on top of that, you have an experienced head coach and experienced offensive play caller in himself and Mike McCarthy sitting in the room with you. And like, you're telling me that both of them can't come together and figure this out and work it out. But then we find out in the press conference from Mike McCarthy's own mouth that, nope, wasn't me. Like, that's his offense. He called the plays. That's on him. Like, that just – so you didn't even help him? You saw your young offensive coordinator struggling, and you didn't even help him, and then you say to the media, nope, not my fault. That's him. That's his offense. He calls the plays. Like, that really sours me on him. And so I'm kind of done with him. I'm frustrated with him right now. So he's number one on my chopping block. But unless Sean Payton does come, I don't see him going anywhere.
Well, which actually wants to bring me to topic number two, right? So our friend, not to be trite, he has some connections within the Cowboys headquarters. Yep. Okay, I'm not going to tell you who his source is. I actually know who his source is, or at least one of them. And it is somebody that would know.
Yes, it is.
And so he comes back with a thing at the end of the season where he talks about Stephen Jones going to Kellen Moore and saying he didn't want any more of the trick plays, as he called them, that mm-hmm. he did in the first several weeks of the season in the blowouts. He was going to allow McCarthy to have his grandstanding about Lyle, but that Lyle was to go in immediately because money plays. Mm-hmm. Which also brings the whole issue of Steven supposedly telling Kellen to basically run Zeke more as well, and not Pollard, because money plays, right? And yep. So that brings me to this point. So if that could be a reaction, I mean, look at Garrett throwing people under the bus. Now you got McCarthy throwing people under the bus. Right. Like, how much is it that maybe there's something above that, that they're just like, look, I've already been nixed out of this by, you know, those in the COO and the CEO of this decision. So, yeah, I'm going to tell you like it is in a press conference without telling you like it is. And that's not my gig. That was Kellen Moore's. I don't know if that's true. Right. Like, there is some conjecture here, but it would add some credence if what is said is true. And now that we're looking at it on the backside, that could be a possibility. And so do you buy what Mike put out there? And if you do you think that's a possibility, what I just said? Or are you like, you know what, not totally sold on that? How are you feeling?
No, I buy what Mike is saying. I trust Mike. Mike is a reliable person. I don't think he just makes stuff up, and I know that we know that he has sources within the Star. My thing about that, when it comes to this situation with Moore, is I can understand them saying, hey, because we all know when he was hired, they told him that Kellen Moore was his offensive coordinator and Kellen Moore was the play caller. We know that. However, what I don't buy, and I know I do buy that Stephen Jones is meddling. He might have told Kellen Moore, hey, you need to do this. You need to not do this. You need to do this. I don't see them saying, hey, McCarthy, you're not allowed to help him if he's struggling. Like that doesn't make sense to me. Like, I can get them meddling, but like, why would, that's their guy. Kellen Moore is like their golden child. Like, if he's struggling, they would want any help they can get.
Maybe now, not Mike. But maybe Mike isn't like, they told Mike to like hands off it. But when Mike kind of saw this, he was I'm not getting involved. Right.
I can complete, and that's part of my issue a little bit too, because I can totally see Mike McCarthy being like, hey, I know he's their golden child. I know that they have him set on my job. I know that they want him to be the head coach one day. And you know what? I'm not going to help him get there any quicker.
Very possible.
And that kind of sets me off too. That kind of irks me. Now, I'm not saying that I know that. I don't know that. I'm not saying, hey, this isn't breaking news. I'm just saying I could see that Mike McCarthy, especially with his comments, like Mike McCarthy just being like, hey, I'm not helping that guy take my job. Why would I help that guy take my job?
Who knows? And it could be a combination of everything.
And you know, Mike has also said, not to be trite, has also said that, you know, there's not a great relationship between Dak and McCarthy.
Right.
Not to say that they don't like each other necessarily, but they don't particularly gel very well. And we know that Kellen Moore and Dak gel very well, and they're good friends. So I'm wondering how Dak is going to respond to Mike McCarthy's comments as well.
So yeah, and that's not – Mike's not the first person to have said that.
No,
he's not. That's been kind of like a little bit of a thing since pretty early on. But, you know, I think personally that, you know, if you move to Sean Payton, you know, I think it's a better move in terms of, you know, quote unquote discipline, which is really funny to me because the Saints have been very, very penalized themselves. So,
yeah.
But, you know, just his mentality for maybe off field discipline versus on field, right? But my worry with Payton, and you look, the Saints are in an absolute cap hell right now. Like, we always joke about the cap not being real, and the cap is very flexible, is kind of what we mean. Yes. You can bend it, shape it. Essentially, what the Saints went out and did is they said, the cap's not real. We're putting everything on a credit card for the future. And here they are, where they have to pay the bill, and they didn't plan to pay the bill. And so here they are. I'm sure Peyton, I mean, we know Peyton had a huge hand in that. You know, so I'm a little worried of, you know, how that control is going to look. Not necessarily good and bad, right? So Peyton could look at, hey, I'm willing to give up X control for money and dollars and contracts to Steven and Jerry, but I get personnel, you know, input. But like, we know the Joneses. You know, like, they want to do it their way. They have said that for the last three decades. It's going to be their way, whatever that looks like. So that's a little bit of my fear, is like, what's that control going to look like? Could Sean put us in another Saint situation? Could Steven and Jerry, you know, could all that headbutt itself to death and we're looking at a repeat?
Yeah, a lot of people are talking about that. I know some people are freaked out about that, and they don't want Sean Payton because of that. You also have to really remember that Mickey Loomis, the GM for the Saints, is a big part of that. Mickey Loomis started spending a little bit of money before Sean Payton was even there. So he's very much of a wild card with spending as well. Now, Sean Payton obviously had a hand in that. So you might even say, hey, maybe it's a perfect balance between Sean Payton wanting to spend and Stephen Jones not wanting to spend any money. And you might have a perfect balance in the middle. I don't know. But for me, like, the Saints are $70 million over the cap. They were like $50 million over the cap last year, and they still managed to franchise their best defense, one of their best defensive players. Like, I'm never worried about the cap, just because I know teams can manipulate it. And the only problem with the cap is that teams, like, with people like Steven, will use it not to get players, not because they can't figure it out, but just because, hey, I don't want to spend this money. So, hey, oh, it's cap reasons. We can't afford it because of the cap. And that's the issue. But when you have teams like the Saints and the Rams, who everybody has been saying, oh, the buck's going to come due. You only kick the can down the road for so long. Like, well, yeah, but they've been saying that for 5+ years and they keep doing it, because unfortunately the road never ends with cap.
Right, because part of it is them guessing what the next year's cap is going to be,
yeah,
and squeezing it within that framework. So
yeah, and I mean, you just continually kick it down, kick it down.
At some point, yes, you will hit periods where if you didn't manage it right, and you have a whole bunch of dead money, and people get injured, and you got to pay or whatever, there can be that point where you're like, okay, the next year is going to be super lean, but we're going to come back fighting the year after.
Yeah, and honestly, this might be the Saints' year where they're just like, hey, we're going to dump it. We're getting a new coach, and we're going to completely rebuild, and we're going to have a really not great team. We're going to get some high draft picks, and we're going to restructure our cap and get set back to going to try to win football. Like, I don't know, and it could fail miserably. And like they can get the wrong coach. They don't have a quarterback unless you believe that Trevor Siemian or Taysom Hill is going to be that quarterback. And so they're in a, you know, they could be in trouble just because they don't have a lot of the key pieces. And if
Brian Leftwich, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But it sounds like the Jaguars might be firing Trent Baalke in order to get him. So
we'll see
what happens. But I think Dennis Allen will probably get promoted there, but we'll see how they work that out. But yeah, I mean, I'm not really super worried about that situation with Sean Payton, just because one, I don't think it's all him. I think Mickey Loomis is a big part of that, but two, Stephen Jones isn't going to let it go crazy like that. Maybe I'm hoping that Sean Payton can open him up a little bit more, but we know Stephen Jones doesn't like to spend money.
Yeah, and he has said so much even after the season, right? Yeah. Like, I did an article earlier this week, if you haven't checked it, Sport DFW, about some changes need to happen at the top. And I went way back into this article, right? Like, I went back. And there was a piece about Jerry essentially saying, you know, he had turned a lot over to Steven and Steven reins him in, and Steven's certainly more conservative than him. And this mm-hmm. was a theme throughout the years, right? Mm-hmm. And then there was a comment where they were talking about it, and he's like, you know, he's certainly more open than he used to be, but he's still way more conservative than me.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of made a point to say it. And then when they talked to Steven and they were like, hey, you know, when your father passes, like, how is that going to change things? And he specifically stated, we will probably be more conservative. So, I mean, it's no secret that Steven is not a big spender. He wants to play it conservative. He wants to work on the people he grooms, quote unquote, in-house is how he calls it. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see how much power they're willing to relinquish to Peyton, how much they're not, and if that causes problems. Because mm-hmm. one thing is Sean Payton will want a lot of control. I mean, he's a Bill Parcells guy. You know, I mean, that's it right there. Like he is a Bill Parcells guy. And guess what? Parcells had a ton of control, which irked Jerry at times. And Jerry did things, you know, mm-hmm. the player, remember the player comments, you know, he wouldn't call him by name. He said that player or the player for T.O.
Yeah.
If you remember, you know, so that's going to be the piece, I think, where if there's going to be problems, it's going to be there. It's going to be over how much control does each party maintain have. And at the end of the day, what's that really look like?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are in the offseason, you know.
It's just going to be an interesting year because the Sean Payton conversation, if he doesn't come this year, it's going to linger over this team the mm-hmm. entire season, and it's going to be super annoying. Even though I want Sean Payton, it's going to be super annoying. And every little thing is going to be put under a microscope. If Mike McCarthy, you know, they lose a game, everything's going to be, oh, it's doom and gloom. If Mike McCarthy makes a bad decision in game, a time management decision, which you know is going to happen multiple times throughout the year, it's going to be like, oh, Sean Payton wouldn't have made that decision. Sean Payton would have, you know, they're already doing it because Sean Payton went on the radio this today and broke down what he would have done at the last seconds of the Dallas Cowboys game with Dak Prescott doing the draw. And of course, everybody's like, oh, you know, this is way better option than what they did and what Mark McCarthy did. And so you're going to get that the whole year, and it's going to be a cloud hanging over this team. And I'm a little bit worried about what it's going to do to the team morale, how they're going to react to it, and what season's going to be like. If they come out flat, like you said, they're going to be like 1-3 or 1-4. Jerry's not going to have much patience. He already wants to get rid of Mike McCarthy.
Yeah. So, and I'm sure he has already talked to Sean. Like,
yeah,
I would find it hard to believe he hasn't reached out to Sean, his friend,
mm-hmm.
even after the retirement, and had a little bit of a conversation.
Yeah, Sean says he has not spoken to any team yet. I don't buy it whatsoever. There's no way Jerry Jones did not pick up the phone and say, hey, give him a call and just talk to him.
Well, the way around that is Jerry wasn't calling on behalf of the team. He was calling on behalf of Jerry Jones
yeah.
to wish him well for retiring, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. Oh, and by the way, ha ha ha, if you ever want, you know, like,
how you feeling? What's your plans?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Cause you can play that game. I mean,
oh yeah,
you can play that game, right? Cause look, tampering's still a thing.
Yep.
You know, and so it, as much as we want to say it, Peyton is under contract.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so he can't talk to another team really without the Saints knowing. Yeah. Right. Cause so they can play the games a little bit. There's a whole bunch of politics behind it, but I don't know. I'm pretty sure they've talked. They've talked at least.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm yeah. pretty sure. I'm pretty sure. So going into the offseason, you know, we have a ton of free agents. And one thing we do here is talk about the draft, and the draft season's coming. We're getting ready to start rolling into drafts, and mm-hmm. how they play this free agency out is really going to potentially impact the way they draft this year. Yes, yeah. BPA, huge, right? Huge. Yes, BPA. But with all of the free agents leaving, even if they bring them back, there's obvious holes they're going to have to fill, right? Mm-hmm. So even if you bring everybody back and you're able to get one, maybe two free agents, you still have not done the service that you probably need to do. And so that said, knowing what this draft is kind of starting to shape up for, where are you leaning? Like, would let's start wide receiver. Are you trying to trade Gallup for picks? Amari for picks? Are you trying to let Gallup walk and saying, hey, I got Wilson. I got this crew behind me. I'll re-sign and keep myself Wilson, Brown. You know, I got Fajoko out there. I got CD, and then I'll go into the draft with one. Maybe I pick up a free agent. Like, where are you at with like the wide receiver? Just starting there.
Yeah. So wide receiver, I know it's been floated around a lot. It's been talked about. I mean, we just got tagged in something here recently about trading Amari Cooper for a first round pick for the Chiefs. And I'm like, absolutely not. Like, that's basically a second round pick. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing that. It'll have to be more than that. And I don't think the Chiefs would do that. I'm not trading Amari Cooper unless the deal is blowing me away. I'm just not. So Amari Cooper's here on my team next year. Gallup and Wilson is interesting. I'm approaching them both at the same time and saying, hey, whichever one of you wants to take a deal, like, then we're talking. I don't think we can get both of them. So I'm saying, hey, whichever one of you. Gallup is going to have to take a pay cut because of his year he had and the injuries he's had. And I'm not paying Gallup 12, 13 million a year. It's just not happening. So if Gallup wants to come down to the 7-8 range, okay, I'm on board. I don't think he will, because he's probably going to get 10 plus offered in free agency. Cedric Wilson, I'm looking at the 6-8 range, and hey, I think that will get it done. So I'm more than happy to bring back Wilson for that. So
the Amari thing's interesting, because that was part of Mike's whole thing, was that the Cowboys are not happy with Amari, right? And look, we're not talking political here, but the COVID non-immunization, yes, really irked the Cowboys front office, right? Mm-hmm. There was some other issues with, like, maybe his heart wasn't in it. He took plays off. He was sulking because he wasn't getting the ball. And, you know, so that's out there. So the reason I also brought up the trade, and I want to make it clear, is because those things, mm-hmm, Mike's not the only one saying it. Mike is certainly not the only one saying, well, Amari was not putting in 100%, and it was bothering the front office.
Yeah, right?
Like, there's quite a few people kind of hinting at it and saying stuff about it. But, you know, I think if you're going to let go of Amari, you have to get something in return, right?
You have to get something
huge in return. You know, if somebody in the top 15 is going to offer me a first round pick, all right,
I'm listening,
right? I am certainly listening. But if it's beyond that, or, you know, maybe I'd consider, like, hey, I'm going to give you my pick, I don't know, 26 this year and my first round next year. All right, I'm listening. But I'm not going to do it for
Because honestly, if we're being honest right now, who are you doing it for? Like, because if you're trading for a first round pick, you're looking for, you're going to use a first round pick on a wide receiver most likely. Mm-hmm. So who are you going for? I mean, you have Chris Olave, you have Drake London, and you have Treylon Burks. Are you trading Amari Cooper for any of them?
Well, funny you say. So, you know, there's also, if you're going to lose Gallup, why not a Garrett Wilson if he's there?
Would you take Garrett Wilson over Chris Olave?
I might. I haven't gotten that far, but they're super close to me. But it depends on which player I lose.
Yeah, I have Garrett Wilson as my number four right now. Of course, we're just beginning. And we got I have Olave, I have London, and I have Burks ahead of him. But I mean, he's up there. So like, it really depends on who's there. Yeah. But getting rid of Amari Cooper.
I have Wilson ahead, not Wilson, Williams ahead of him. Jameson.
Okay.
Right now.
Okay. Oh, right. Yeah. He's really,
and then I have,
I'm a little worried about his injury. But we'll see how he bounces back from the injury.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with Wilson, of course, is he's really a little bit more of a slot guy, but man, if I can open up my offense with him and CD, I'll throw Brown and Wilson on the outside and be just happy. But, you know, I'm not saying Wilson. I'm just saying in general, there's about four guys there, if you include London and the other kid. Is it Penn State? Burks.
Oh, wait.
Dotson.
Okay.
Right. So if you include those guys, like, you might be able to make a play for, you know, Williams, or you might be able to, I mean, it just depends, right? Top 15, Jameson Williams is probably in a top 15 spot, right? I mean, he's pretty much a immediate, hey, I lost Gallup, I'm throwing him in and rolling with it, right? Like, so wide receiver wise, you know, I think they can play with that more than they can other positions, right? So there's going to be some positions like safety. There's going to be some positions like linebacker. There's going to be some positions like defensive line that they're going to have to talk about. And look, I mentioned the defense, but let's be real. Like, there's a lot of one-year deals on that side of the ball, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I mean, if you're giving me a high first round pick and a shot at Kyle Hamilton, then I'll do it.
Right. But like, that's the whole thing. It's like, I'm hoping that as the Cowboys play this, you know, see this, you know, pre draft, you know, the free agency and all of that season, I hope they play it to where they look at the draft a little bit and say, okay, we can finagle this because this draft has this. Yeah. This draft is good for offensive line.
Very much so.
So do you say, okay, we're going to kind of not do something there, knowing we're going to get some talent in the draft, but this is not the draft for, I don't know, wide receivers. So guess what? I'm going to put some money into that. Like, I hope they look at it that way and approach it that way, because there is some really good groups in this draft. Mm-hmm. If you need an offensive lineman, this might be the draft for it.
Oh yeah.
And I've gone back and forth. Like, I've had a couple where Linderbaum is there at our spot, but at 24, but I'll tell you now, I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen. Like,
I don't think he gets past Philly.
I think he might, because I think Kelsey's coming back for another year. So I think he might.
But man, they can throw him almost anywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they need serious upgrades.
He's just such a good center. Like, he might be the best center prospect I've ever seen.
Don't forget, the Eagles have back-to-back picks.
Yeah. No, I get that. You know what I mean? I just think they have too many holes to go. I think they're going guard. I definitely think they're going guard.
Why wouldn't you put Linderbaum there? I know he's a center, but like
you could. But I think it would be a waste of his ability at center.
With the idea that he learns from Kelsey for a year and move him over. I mean,
stop this talk.
No,
I want him to avoid
Philly. But I mean, cost. Like, I want to be a little realistic when we talk about, right? And it's great to want a guy, but like, there's 32 teams in the NFL, and guess what? If there's a guy, probably everybody likes the guy.
No, right? Yeah, especially in that first round. Even if Philly doesn't take him, like, somebody's going to take him before 24. He's just too good of a prospect, in my opinion. Like, he's just too good to fall. Like,
yeah, I mean, you got the Chargers, you got the Saints, you got the Eagles, a third pick. Mm-hmm. You have Pittsburgh, New England, Las Vegas, and Arizona, all before us. And you don't tell me that none of them need an offensive lineman?
Yeah, they do.
They do, right? So, yeah, it'll be fun to watch them try to build this out, because what's going to end up happening is, look, if you need a linebacker and you want, like, decent talent, this isn't a bad draft to do that in, right? Yeah. On a normal linebacker, I mean, shoot, you know, everybody's drooling at Devin Lloyd, who, you know, could be there. Dean is around. I mean, this is actually a pretty solid linebacker class. A running back class. What's not here is a huge amount of edge after what, probably second round after that. Like, what edge is, it becomes, so far what I've found is it becomes very, are you a run stopper or are you more of a pass rusher? Mm-hmm. And then it kind of just disappears for a round or two. So if you need edge, like, the Cowboys may need edge depth. Do you go looking in the draft now and knowing what you know? I don't know.
Yeah. So it's hard right now just because we don't know what free agency is going to entail. Mm-hmm. That's the hardest thing about this time of year is everybody's like, oh, what are you going to draft? Everybody likes to jump into the draft, which we do too. We've been in the draft already. It's just a hard team because, like, right now, if we don't re-sign anybody, like, just going off the contracts we have on the books for next year, safety is a huge need because we literally have, like, no safeties on the team. But come March, when free agency starts, or even before that, like, we re-sign a couple of these guys, and, you know, we re-sign Curse, we re-sign Hooker, you know, and maybe Casey, maybe we resign them all in short-term deals, and it's just like, okay, now safety is not so much of a huge need as it was a month ago, you know. So it's really hard right now to tell what we need. And
they're gonna set themselves up as they do every year where they're like, we can take BPA. Yeah. And like, that's great, but, you know, we all knew last year at some point they were taking a cornerback, and they wanted to take a cornerback in the first. So we can say BPA, but they were willing to just roll with a cornerback. Even if you thought Micah Parsons was better than the other two cornerbacks, if that was your thing, the Cowboys had said they were going cornerback regardless.
Yeah.
Right. Because they had put themselves in a little bit of a bind.
And I think they're going to do that again this year with offensive line. I haven't really researched who's a free agent this year that much. I need to do that. I need to start looking into the other teams' free agents. I know our free agents. I need to start looking into other teams and seeing, okay, who's going to be on the market. I've heard Andrew Norwell. I'm not huge on signing him as a guard replacement, but we're going to need something. We're going to have to address the left guard and the center position, either in free agency or in draft. And I have a feeling it's going to be in the draft. And I think they're going to pigeonhole themselves into the draft, because I don't think they're going to really want to pay guard money in free agency.
Yeah. And look, they're already over, and there's other things that they have to figure out, you know. What do they do with Zeke? What do they do? You know, are they going to keep Amari and Gallup? Are they moving from anybody else who are they re-signing? There's a whole bunch of money questions coming down the pipe. You know, so it's, I don't know. I don't know. So looking at this, so before we get into a little bit of draft stuff, looking at this draft, looking at free agency and looking at the Cowboys, what are your top, where do you think they approach the draft with their top two needs? What do you think their top two needs will be approaching the draft?
You want me to go specific position, or can I say interior offensive line?
You can say interior offensive line. That's fine.
Okay. So interior offensive line is number one, in my opinion. Number two, I think it will probably be linebacker, because I think they will do something in free agency with the safeties. I think they will resign a couple of the guys. I think getting Quinn back, having Quinn come back is going to help re-sign Curse. So I think they're going to address the safety position a little bit with some of the guys they had. So I'll go linebacker as the number two.
Yeah, and I could buy both of those. You know, the only one that I'm a little wary of is how they're going to handle cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look, Kelvin Joseph looked great in very limited, you know, moments. Like, you know, he had moments. You know, you got Diggs, but, you know, you're still sitting there with Brown, Lewis. You have no idea what you got in Wright. Like, there's quite a bit there that they're like, you know, you can add some talent to that position. I just don't know how they're gonna approach it, mm-hmm. and whether they really think Diggs and X, whoever X ends up being, whether that's Joseph or they bring back Brown or whatever X is, if they say that's good enough, because mm-hmm. to your point, they have Dan Quinn, but Dan Quinn's going to want more, yeah. right? Because he saw this defense not hold up very well at times this season in certain aspects, running mobile quarterbacks, mm-hmm. Teams that were super run heavy. There was some issues. Now, granted, some of that was Brent Urban being down, which brings in defensive tackle.
Yes.
But, you know, this is not that defensive tackle class. So if you're looking for that, you know.
Let's just trade up and get Jordan Davis.
Yeah. Well, this isn't the draft where you're going to have a whole bunch of guys right off the bat that you're going to be like, yes, you'll get like a Leal in there. You know, there's some talent. But you're not looking at it as it, you know, as it has been over the last couple of years. It's not the strongest class. It's not the worst class, but it's definitely not the strongest class. Linebacker, there's a ton in this draft.
Yeah.
This draft has linebackers probably through the late fourth that you could say within a year are starting in this league.
And look at a lot and look for the Cowboys to look at that speed. Linebacker, the guy with sideline to sideline speed, the guy
like another Cox,
or a guy like a Parsons, not necessarily total package like Parsons, but the speed, a guy like Deion Jones, who Quinn had in Atlanta, those guys, those are the type of linebackers that Dan Quinn likes to fill his team with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's they're going to need a thumper though. I think they're going to need somebody that also kind of does what LVE is supposed to do, which is get that size in there and hit that gap and stop someone in their tracks, right? Mm-hmm. Which is why I kind of like Leo Chenal if they go that route. I've been kind of watching him a little bit out of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
That dude he blitzes really well. Like, let me just, if you want a guy who's like Parsons in that aspect, who can be like, yeah, just line me up on the line. I'm getting in there. Then you go like Chenal. Now, he's probably not the quickest sideline to sideline guy, mm-hmm. but I'll tell you what, if he's going to come hit that hole, he's going to get there and he's going to hit somebody and he's going to enjoy hitting somebody. So I kind of like that aspect of him.
You always got to like the guys that enjoy hitting somebody,
right? Like, yeah, yeah. But what he really does a lot of is blitzing. He's very blitz heavy, right? He has some coverage abilities. He can even play a little safety, supposedly. I got to get to more tape of that and see if he had how many reps he had. But that he has that ability to cover tight ends like that. Well, again, maybe not the fastest guy, but if I can get a linebacker who can hit hard and at least cover me a tight end, I'm rolling. I'm good. Right. And you, again, this defense needs a little power behind it. And so, you know, if you're going to lose LVE, potentially lose Urban, you know, where's the power coming from? Like, I want them fast. Don't get me wrong. But like, where's that? You're meeting San Francisco and they're just going to line up and pound you down the middle.
Yeah.
Where are my guys that can go, okay, I'm going to go toe to toe with these people. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, if you go too far one way, you're not going to have those.
Yeah. We need that.
But you know, the other side to your thing that nobody's or the other side to this that nobody's talking about is tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's kind of one of the ones that's a huge mystery to me. And while everybody's like a tight end, look, Jarwin has been injured. Schultz has more than proven that he can play. You have this contract sitting there for Jarwin. Is it, do you cut bait and save the money?
You know, like $8 million or something, I think it is.
Yeah. Like, why wouldn't, but then it puts you in the need. I mean, we've seen what they have as backups and it's not great.
Not great at all.
You need people who can block more, which you don't have any of those really. They're okay, I guess, serviceable here and there, but they're not good blockers. So, you know, that could be a sneaky need heading into this draft. And again, this is a pretty solid tight end class. I mean, we're not talking Pitts tight ends, but we're talking those guys who are like the things we loved about Jason Witten, where, oh, you need me to block? Okay, I can block. Oh, you need me out on an option, a Y option? I can run that all day and all night. You need me to get up the seam a little bit? Oh, I'm going to get up the seam. I'm not breaking away from everybody, but I'm going to be there. I'm going to catch this ball and we're going to get ourselves a first down at, you know, third and eight. You know, that guy. But there are quite a few of those in this draft. So I'm kind of expecting them to do something there.
That's why I don't see us re-signing Schultz. His projected market right now is like $11 million a year. I'm sorry, yep. I'm not paying that to Schultz because,
well, especially when you have Jarwin on the hook.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, and even with getting rid of Jarwin, like I'm not paying that to Schultz. And I know Schultz had a really good year receiving. He had a terrible year blocking, but he had a really good year receiving. I get that. But to me, and I could be wrong, and maybe he'll prove me wrong with another team one day. I don't know. But I don't see something overtly special about Schultz to where, like, hey, this guy is, like, the guy. I think his production is very easily replaceable by multiple receiving tight ends in this system. So I think you can draft a guy who can put up who can – maybe not year one, but maybe year two or three can put up that kind of production and who could be a better, more reliable blocker.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, they're going to need to help on the offensive line, right? And if they say, okay, we're going to go center and maybe, and let's say they fill center guard, you still have some issues on the tackle, right? Because Tyron's health, Lyle's issues, like let's say both of them go down again. You already know, are you going to swing Steele to left? Like, keep him at the right tackle. You're happy with him there. He performed fine as your right tackle. Actually had some really good games. But what do you do at that left tackle position, right? And if you have to throw in somebody, you're going to need help for him.
Yeah. I think with that situation, I think I'm not super concerned about Collins' health as long as he's committed to football, which is a question. Hopefully he stays, you know, in a workout program this offseason and he can, you know, come back in shape. I'm not worried about his physical shape if he stays, right. If he does that. It's his off the field issues where gets in trouble. You know, that's the issue you got to worry about with him. But other than that, I think he'll be fine. Hopefully he doesn't get into any trouble. Your point about Smith is valid, and Steele, I think you give Steele a chance at Steele has improved every year. And I think he can improve more at left tackle than what he is. I know we played Ty Nesecki a lot at the end of the year because we didn't trust Steele at left tackle, but give him an offseason of, hey, you know, primarily focusing on that left tackle position and kind of see how it goes. And if he can't do it, and if Tyron has another year of health issues and he can't do it, then you're going to need to find something. But I'm not making it a huge top priority. Now, if something falls into my lap, okay. But I think you can go another year of Tyron there, and if he has an issue, then see what Steele can do this offseason, focusing on that left tackle position.
And then that's kind of my point, is like, to help that situation, right? Mm-hmm. To help it along, if you get a tight end who's better at blocking and doing yes. those types of things, right, it alleviates some of those questions. If that tight end can chip and he can hold a block or he can help lock down that block, well, then guess what? You've now helped Steele or whomever yes. that left tackle is, right? And you've given that ability to help versus, hey, guess what? You're a left tackle and I'm throwing you on an island because we don't have a tight end who can help you chip.
Yeah. Like, and they tried to do it this year with Jeremy Sprinkle and it did not work out because he was brought in for his blocking prowess and he was terrible at blocking. But I think you can buy a cheap tight end who is primarily a blocker. You know, we had that 2 years ago with Blake Bell, you know, and he could even catch the ball every once in a while down the field. But, you know, going out and getting a Blake Bell type tight end would be very beneficial to this team. Very Which, beneficial.
Back to this draft, has quite a few of those.
Quite guys. A few. Yeah, quite a few. Right. Yeah.
And then they have some guys that aren't so, like, they're willing blockers or decent, but guess what? They're really more of a receiver, mm-hmm. you know? So it just depends on what you want. And it depends on what they do at the wide receiver position as well. So,
yeah,
you know, I think there's a whole gamut of how they can go. And, you know, this draft is a weird draft so far, the way I'm looking at it. Again, the quarterback questions, God, Lord, man, It's bad. Not good. But, hey, we're not in the need for a quarterback. So guess what? We don't have to worry about it.
Very true.
You know, I will tell you now that I am actually excited in some ways. This sounds very bizarre, but I am excited to get into more interior offensive linemen as I go through. I mean, you got Kenyon Green and Tyler Linderbaum.
Kenyon Green is a beast.
Like those two together. All right. First round guys, easy. But there's some guys sitting there in like the second, third round that I'm like, I want to look more at them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Zion Johnson, Darian Kennard, Sean Ryan, Jeremy Salyer, Tyler Smith, you know, like there are some names there, you know, and they're pretty good. Are they really second, late second guys? Are they early second? Are they mid second? Same with some of the third round guys. So I'm curious to get into the offensive line guys, interior offensive line, because I think such a strong group this year that we may see more go a little higher because people are going to make a run on them.
I really like Green from A&M, Kenyon Green. Right now, he's projected to go around the 24 mark, and a lot of people are projecting to go to the Cowboys. I'm seeing it a lot. I just think that people are talking about him a lot, and he's going to start going up the draft board a lot. And I don't think he'll be there, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't know if he makes it out of the top 12.
He's really good.
He's really good. I mean, unless the quarterbacks run, I don't know if he make. I mean, top 12, top 15. You know, that's the thing. He could fall to the Eagles, and guess what? Linderbaum keeps falling. You know, would they take Kenyon Green? I think they would. Shoot, technically, they could go back-to-back, get Green, Linderbaum, and guess what? Their offensive line's looking a heck of a lot better.
Offensive line's looking dominant.
Right? But we'll see how it all plays. But, man, there's some good offensive line in here, and I'm not worried. Like, I would love a Green, and I would love a Linderbaum, but I'm not worried that you can't find someone here. in this draft.
This draft is stacked with offensive linemen.
So we'll see. We'll see. All right. Well, it is now the witching hour. So any big plans coming up?
Just school, man. Just school, man. Studying, reading books, reading case law.
What's your focus?
That fun stuff. I don't really have a focus right now. I'm just trying to go through and kind of see if I'm falling in love with anything. Really, I mean, there's obviously I have some interest in like contracts, and criminal law is always interesting. One that I never really thought of that I'm kind of enjoying is property law, you know, stuff like that. So, just kind of keeping an open book.
And my dad always hoped I'd go into environmental law.
I haven't done anything on that. So
yeah, it's pretty fascinating, but it was not for me. So I was like, yep, nope, not my gig. This is not me. But that was something my dad always wanted me to do was environmental law. So I researched it for a while and I was just like, sounds cool, but
I wouldn't mind being a sports agent one day, but that's an exclusive club that's not exactly easy to get into.
Yeah. Well, you can get into it, but you're going to start like the lacrosse player from Boise, and you're like, all right, cool. You might get there, but man, you're going to start with like, you know, the pickleball champion out of, you know, Wisconsin. You're like, yes, my first client, you know what I mean? So,
oh yeah.
But you know, I got nothing. My wife's going in for a surgery. It's elective, so it's all good. She's got that coming up, and then, you know, just hammering down life and just keep pushing forward. So
Man,
that's all you can do.
Yeah, especially in these times right now, man.
Hey, but on the flip side, you know, now we get to talk a little. Super Bowl is coming. I'm excited for the halftime show.
It looks so sick, man.
I will watch simply for the halftime show.
I've even said, like, if there's something happening and like it's like I can't watch the Super Bowl, it might be the first time ever that I don't watch the Super Bowl, but I watch the halftime show.
I know.
Usually it's the opposite.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not missing the halftime show this year.
I may record that. Just saying.
Right.
Just saying. But yeah, I mean, we got that. Then of course it's going to, you know, Super Bowl hits, you got about a month and off we go to free agency. So we're going to have a lot to talk about over the next couple of weeks. But yeah, where can we find your work, man?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at @TheJAMassey. Find me here on the 4D podcast. And then also my written work with this podcast is on the StarBoysNetwork.com.
Outstanding. And of course, you can find me on the old Twitter. And lately I've been dunking on people. So you come at me with a stupid hot take, I'm going to dunk on you a little bit. Yes, and I'm sorry.
Yes, he has.
But these were awful takes, like misogynistic takes. So they deserve to be dunked on. But you can find me at Dan_Rupert, RUPPERT. And you can find me right here, of course, on this podcast. And of course, sportdfw.com on Fansided, which one of our friends, I don't know if you saw, one of our friends who works out in East Texas radio just got himself a gig with SportDFW, a guy by the name of Steven Johnson.
Oh, I did not see that. That's awesome.
Yes. Yes.
I got to congratulate him.
So if you know Steven Johnson, you know, give him a follow, give him a like. Maybe we'll get him on the show now and have him do some spiel. He does work radio on the East, covering sports for the one of the East Texas radio stations. But yeah, he posted it just before we started this. So
oh man, I haven't checked, so I missed it. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm gonna go congratulate him.
Outstanding. All right, guys. Well, we will catch you next week. Stay healthy, stay safe, and catch you on the flip.
Have a good one.